time to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors. May we have a call to order?
Director Garcia?
Present.
Director Hudson?
Present.
Director Torlakson?
Present.
Director Dawson?
Present.
Let the record show Director Mason is not here yet.
Yes, he emailed me earlier and said he would not be attending the meeting this evening.
Okay, let the record show he is absent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask that the gentleman from Pittsburgh lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item, approval for the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as is written?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as stands.
I second that.
Okay, may we have a voice call?
Director Hudson?
Yes, aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Mason is absent.
Moving along, we have the consent calendar that's composed of routine items of business and will be adopted in whole or in part by motion unless a request is made by a board member to remove a specific item.
I'd like to ask that item D be pulled.
Which letter?
B.
B, as in boy?
Yes, okay. Please.
Any other requests? Okay.
I have a
motion that we...
I move we approve the consent calendar except for B.
Good.
I second.
Okay.
Okay, Director Dawson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Record show Director Mason's absent.
Okay, so we're going to go to item 4B, approval of warrants. Okay.
I just had a couple of questions and I didn't get a chance to call Mary Jane. I noticed that we're not being charged the fee for Lynbrook anymore, which is great, but I'm not seeing a refund for last month because it was supposed to start, remember we talked about?
Yeah, I don't think we're getting a refund because Debbie talked to Tina, so I don't know what they figured out, but it has been turned off.
Okay.
So...
All right.
She said, I believe we are supposed to get one, but that it's not here. It's probably going to be a check sent to us and
okay, so
take some a while.
It wouldn't be reflected in this?
No.
Or no. At some point, would it ever
yes.
It would be reflected in this at
yes.
some point.
And what?
Your.
No, if they send us a check for the refund, this will not show in there.
It because
will
be it'll
in
just
the
increase
income.
In account, but we wouldn't see that $500.
Right, it would be a miscellaneous income.
Okay, all right.
Or it would be... deducted from the expenses.
Okay, and then I just, I had another question, but before that, I just wanted to make note that it's really great to see Tradewind's water usage down. I know it's the time of year it would be down, but to remember back in the day when we had it would be $256, we could never figure it out for the longest time, so it's really great to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it made me also look at the Viewpoint water, which is three times the amount of Boger, and I think that area... land area as far as grass is about the same, so I don't know why Viewpoint would be three times more.
Yeah, we're having,
looking at it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. And that's all I have. Thank
okay.
you.
Any other comments? Okay. All right. So, do I have a motion?
I move we approve B of the consent calendar.
I second.
Okay.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Record show Director Mason is absent.
Okay. At this time, we have a presentation, an overview of the Teen Center programs here at Ambrose and the activities by Teen Center Supervisor Randy Ross, and we also have some exemplary Teen Center participants here. We're very proud of you, and look forward to hearing this presentation.
All right, well, thank you and good evening to the board, the directors, staff, and the residents who are in attendance tonight. We'd like to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share all the great things going on at the Teen Center program. But I do, before we get started, I'd like to bring to the board's attention, let you know that immediately following our presentation, we do have to go.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I got them all dressed up. It's best to take them out.
Right.
Nice. We're not included?
No, no.
Next time.
Next time. Next time.
Oh, okay.
So, I know at your last board meeting, the general manager actually gave his State of the District report, and the Teen Center was a part of that presentation. And what we don't want to do is repeat a lot of that information, because I know you guys have already been privy to that type of information, which this presentation is going to do more focusing on youth impact. And that's exactly why I have my youth here today. They're going to give some of their testimonials on how the Teen Center program has impacted them personally. So, again, we don't want to repeat everything that was already reported into the general manager's State of the District report, because I know he couldn't get that impact report. So, we're going to do that for you tonight. What I would like to share with you, just a quick update, is we have over 60-plus youth that are enrolled into the Teen Center with a daily average attendance of 25 or more, which is really, really good considering we're not located onto a school campus and it takes them some effort to get here to participate in our programs and activities. So that is something that we really want to brag about, that our program is actually drawing these kids in. We have approximately 40% female and 60% male. This is the highest participation of females that we've had in many, many years, which we're really excited about that, and we definitely welcome the diversity into our program. Bless you. Into our program and activities and the events that go on into the Teen Center. If you give me a quick second, I would like to read off a couple of those activities that the Teen Centers actually plan, organize, and participate in. Teen Center Board Game Olympics, the All-in-One Community Service Projects, Leadership Mentoring Projects, Tutoring and Homework Support, Girls Talk Life Skills Seminar, which was led by Jackie Santa Maria, which we really appreciate your volunteering.
Nice.
Thank you. The Teen Eagle program, which allows the kids to take on hiking trips, biking, fishing, kayaking, swimming, and so many other activities. East Bay Regional Parks Community Service Project, community service partnership with Contra Costa County Food Bank Distribution. Teen Center Special Projects, Halloween Haunted House and Dance, Sheriff's Christmas Dinner, Movie Nights, Family Nights, Family Game Nights, Teen Center Barbecue, Basketball Tournaments, Youth Motivational and Educational Seminars, College Prep Courses, Neighborhood and Parks Beautification Project, which was led by Trina, College Tours, Boomer's Arcade, which includes miniature golf, laser tag, and more. Indoor golfing, and indoor golf cart racing, music production, and video editing. These are just some of the things that we do inside the Teen Center. Another big important announcement that I would like to relay to the board and to the attendees is that the Teen Center was just awarded a $10,000 grant from the San Francisco Foundation and the Caution Fellows Program, which is just waiting your approval and your signature.
Nice.
I don't think you'll have a problem with that. This grant is going to allow us to expand our multimedia learning center, replace and update equipment, go on more field trips, plan more enrichment activities, special events, and fill in the funding gaps, providing quality service to our youth in Bay Point. The Teen Center Leadership Group are in the process of organizing and planning an appreciation dinner, which is on behalf of receiving this generous grant from Caution. So we're looking forward to them planning a successful and event, studied event. We will keep you updated on the dates. This, like I said, this presentation isn't going to be me standing up here spewing off numbers and percentages and things of that nature. This presentation is about the youth, so this is probably the most you're going to hear from me tonight. I really want this presentation to be focused all about the youth and presented by the youth. Once we start our video, you're also going to see a video that was actually produced by a couple of the youth, actually. And we really, really hope that you enjoy that, and we'll be more than happy to take questions after the presentation of the video. So without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and start the video.
I'm Isaac Dunn. I'm the Teen Center leader, and I've been coming here for like a year, like 2 months. And one thing I like about the Teen Center, like, keeps me out of trouble, gets me good grades and everything too, and it's better than going home. And things that we do over here, we like play basketball, dodgeball, we play the PS4, we play pool, foosball, ping pong, play all that. We go on field trips too, and then you gotta do community service sometimes too, if you wanna go on the field trips.
Teen Center.
Hey
am a senior at CSU Stanislaus, and I am a YDLC member. Let me tell you a little bit of my experience with YDLC. I started out my freshman year of high school. I went to Mount Diablo High School, and I got involved while working for the CARES After School Program. And my best friend, Yasmin, as I hope you will meet today, she brought me to meet Randy, and that's how I got started with YDLC. YDLC, when I was in high school, I was involved in many leadership opportunities, and we planned different activities, such as a college and career fair. We planned appreciation nights, and we did a lot of large-scale events where it was a bunch of teams that would put it together, and I remember being one of the leaders, as long as Yasmin and other Amherst Teen Center teenagers. After high school, Randy, as a mentor, he has been great. He has written countless letters of recommendations for me, and he has been a great support system. If I need something, I can give him a call, and he's always there. Or, you know, other YDLC members who have, you know, been there throughout the years or have come and gone. Everyone has been a huge support system. I remember when I first started, we talked about having people in your corner and having good people that would support you no matter what your dreams were. And this was definitely it. I remember we went to Catalina Island and UCLA, and we got to see what else was out there. And I would have never seen myself going. A year after that, I applied to study abroad in Spain, and I spent 6 months in Alicante, Spain. I was able to complete classes for my minor, which is Spanish. And I came back, and now I'm graduating this May 27th at, like I said, Cal State Stanislaus. And I will be receiving my bachelor's in child development, and I'll be applying for the master's program in social work at different universities. Like I said, YDLC has just been a huge support system. Everyone's been, you know, helping me reach my goal, and Randy as a mentor has been one of the most supportive people, and he's one of those people that gives you tough love, but it's good tough love, and he keeps pushing you to do better and keeps pushing you so you want to do better for yourself. So that's my little 2 minutes of my YDLC experience. And I hope I get to meet you guys soon.
Good evening. My name is Yasmin Campos, and I'm a speech pathology major at Sacramento State University. I've been part of this program since I was 16 years old, and in 2 days, I'm going to be 24. That means I've been part of an incredible journey within this program for 8 years, and that would have never happened if it wasn't for a few good friends. See, within this program, it's never about getting out of Bay Point so much as discovering what's outside the walls of Bay Point. This program has given me the educational opportunities of going on a Southern California University tour, where I got the first-hand chance to meet the chief of pediatric surgery at UCLA. This program is also filled with fun activities, such as going to Boomers, Santa Cruz, we went to 49er games, and also going to Catalina Island, where many of us have never been before. Many of us had a chance to go snorkeling and go jet skiing, an opportunity that's not often given, all within this program. The really cool part about being part of YDLC is that you get to learn through your peers who have been through things before that you have never been through before. And that gives you the opportunity to see how things are done, whether it's applying for classes, applying for financial aid. You have peers that have been within this program that are able to show the younger people in the program how things are done. And it's really beneficial to all of us. The most important and most appreciative thing of all is having Randy Ross as a mentor. Having him as a mentor has given us all kinds of open doors, including just knowing that you have someone on your team, someone who's genuinely there for you. It can be as little as a ceremony to a graduation, and just knowing that every time you look out into the crowd, you see his face smiling back at you, knowing that he is proud of what you are doing and where you're going within your educational goals. I wish the very best for the future generations of YDLC, and that you guys have an amazing time and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to you within this program. Have a great night, and thank you.
Wow.
this time, I would like to introduce Jalon Johnson to come up to the podium and give his speech of impact.
So, hi, everybody.
Hello.
Well, my name is Jalon Johnson, and I'm one of the producers to this movie. How the Teen Center impacted me? I've been coming here since I was 14 years old, going from Riverview and here. My routine was really, when I was in middle school, was home, homework, and do the same thing over and over again until summer. Once I came into the Teen Center, I thought it was a fun place to be with, like to be with people my age, and also thought of it as a learning opportunity. I was playing basketball. I'm getting better at basketball because I'm playing with older people. kind of nervous up here.
You're doing great. Yeah, doing really good.
Meeting Randy and seeing what he was doing with other kids wanted me to be around him, basically. Like the community service. I always wanted to do community service because I already knew the basis of getting a job, and in the interview, you've been saying that you've been doing community service and catch their eye. So playing basketball, being around Randy and awesome as a mentor. He taught me to keep pushing. Don't give up. If you end up giving up, at least you try. He always told me that if there's a will, there's a way. I am employed at Safeway in San Leandro. I go to college at Merritt College in Oakland. And I am in a YDLC program. So I guess what really caught his eye is my attention on him and what he was doing and me participating. Pass it on to one of my colleagues. You done?
Nice.
Hello, you guys. My name is Isaac. Isaac Dunn. And being with the Teen Center, Teen Ego, meeting Randy, I started doing this probably when I was like in the sixth grade. So I've been here for over 3 years now. I'm a team leader, and being here just helped me so much in life. How to keep going when there's obstacles in your way, and it just helped me because it just, everything that I'm doing now, like I'm working, I'm employed at the SCS Academy. I work with teens to teach, I work with little kids, I tutor them. And if it wasn't for me being here, I probably wouldn't be there because he taught me how to do my job resume, taught me how to fill out a college application, gave me my first job. And it's just been a big impact because from there, I just took off. I wasn't doing bad in school or nothing, but I was having it rough, you can say. So he just helped me get through that by being a mentor, being there for me, making sure I was always good. Every time I come in here, it was just a good experience almost every day, because I learned something new. And and I suggest that future generations should keep this on. So, Randy, or whoever else he passes the torch on could still make impact on kids' lives and help them strive to do more than what they're capable of. That's it.
Things and Randy has helped me a lot. Like, I was going through stuff in school, and I talked to him, and he helped me through it. And he's offered to get me a tutor to help with school. And he's overall just like really cares about everybody, and I want to make sure this program keeps going on because like it's really good for kids. I'm nervous. I'm sorry.
You're doing really good.
Jackie, too?
Yeah.
I was in one of her groups before, and she's come to the team center, and she's also helped me a lot. And she's helped me through, like, problems, too. So now I know that I have two support systems to help me.
Good job.
Yeah. Well, I would like to thank everybody to come here to hear what the youth has to say about the Teen Center. My name is Kimmett Lewell. I go by Israel. Everybody knows me by Israel in the Teen Center. And the first time I came to the Teen Center was in middle school when I was an eighth grader. And at the time, we were having rough situations. And when I met Mr. Randy, he showed me more opportunities and showed me more ways on how you can go this way instead of just going the same way that you see everybody else is going. You want to stand out. And he showed me how to get a job. I got my first job with Mr. Randy. I was doing landscaping. They showed us how to do irrigation. They showed us a lot of things that I did not know, and it's just brought my mind towards things that I thought I would never think about doing. And just being with Mr. Randy over the years, he showed me how to just like be yourself and how to just make sure that you carry yourself with positivity, and whatever is going on, you make sure that it doesn't bring you down. And just the things that he showed me along the way, and just some of the things that he showed me to make me the person I am today, it's just a blessing. And if it weren't for going to the Teen Center, I would have never met this man. And if it weren't for him just showing me a few things on how to just be yourself, be calm, don't be shy or anything like that, it just took me everywhere that I actually just thought I would never go, and here I am. But right now I'm employed at Popeyes in Clayton Road, Concord, California, and he showed me how to make sure that he showed me how to. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous too, but he just showed me. He showed me how to just not be nervous during an interview. Make sure that you speak, have eye contact when you speak to the interviewer. Make sure that you answer the question. Don't go off topic or anything like that. So it's a lot of major things that he showed me that I thought that was not very serious. But later on, when you grow more and the things that you have experienced and you realize those were very important moments in your life. And just to be in the Teen Center and just to be a part of what has been going on way before I was in it, and just to see how it really impacted other people. I know that this is really changing people's lives and changing teens' lives, especially if they're going through situations in their lives that they can't really talk to anybody else about, or they feel like they can't talk to anyone else about. If you can't talk to anybody else, Mr. Randy would be the person that you would go to. I would go to him if I didn't have the certain things that I needed in school. When I needed school supplies, I went to him for that, because at the time our parents didn't have school supplies for us. And when I needed binders, when I needed paper, I needed pencils or a backpack, he was the one to supply me with that. He was the one to supply my sisters with school supplies also. And being in the Teen Eco program, my very first time was 2 summers ago, and I was just very shy, because that was like one of my, well, my second major job that just really had me shy, because I was just working around people that I really didn't know that well. But working with them with that past week, we just turned into a family. It was like a family bond. And I'll never forget that. We had some good times, we had some bad times, but we grew together. And these are not my colleagues, these are my family. I would consider everybody my family. Mr. Randy, he's like a second father. So I would like to thank Mr. Randy for just giving me this opportunity. I would like to thank you for letting me speak on behalf of the Teen Center. And kind of forgot what I was going to say. But the Teen Eco program, it just really helped me, figure out what you need to do and what you need to know if you really want to be in the work world. And the career speaks that we would have really inspired me to get a job and to do better and to progress more. And I would love to be a part of Teen Eco for as long as I can be. Next summer, I would love to be in Teen Eco again. And I would love to inspire other people and younger generations to get in this program. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to speak for yourself. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And that's what I used to be afraid of, but Mr. Randy would just be, he would be tough, like tough love, and just show you, don't be afraid. Just calm yourself. Just don't be that afraid, but I understand that you will be afraid sometimes. Just take a deep breath and just breathe through. And it's just a lot of things that he showed me just really broadened my mind towards better things that I would like to spread on with my younger siblings and my parents as well. And that's what I have to say.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this time.
To get a snapshot of our program and a real good look at our youth that we are producing out of the Teen Center. Great job to all of you. On behalf of the Teen Center program, the youth, we would like to thank you for allowing us to present our successful program. But our success is not our own. We would like to also thank the PSF grant, which is promoting safe and stable families. That is a huge funder of the Teen Center, so I definitely want to put that out there. Also, the Ambrose Recreation and Park District staff, thank you so much for your support. Other agencies and collaborators, San Francisco Foundation, the Koshman Program, the volunteers, the supportive members of the community, past, present, and the future youth who are going to be a part of the Teen Center. So thank you very much. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're very proud of your program and of the students and what they bring to Bay Point. And we're very happy to be able to provide that. It's real important in Bay Point to have this for the youth to look to. And we're very happy. And any other comments from board members? Trina?
Yeah, my daughter is a YDLC member. She's 28 now. And she first met Randy, I believe, in high school.
Yes.
Right. And so she's a dancer. And her father and I really promoted college. But we thought more like, how are you going to support yourself? So we would say to her, you know, think of a career that you can do to pay for your passion. Randy would say to her, how do you make it so you can work your passion? And I remember her coming home and saying that to us. And it was a struggle because we kept thinking, man, dancers, you know, it's one in a million that you can support yourself dancing. But all these years later, she pays for, you know, maybe a little chunk of her life with dancing, but she works her passion every day. And it's really because of the Teen Center and YDLC, that program, because we were not thinking that way. We were real supportive parents, but we were all about get a degree, you know, in bookkeeping or something like that. And that was not going to make her happy. So I just want you to know, you know, as a parent, I am so grateful to this program and Randy. And I think you kids are awesome. And you are exactly what I expect to come out of that program. And it's great to see all these years later. And I agree with every single one of you that this needs to have sustainability and go on and on and on beyond Randy. You guys are the next generation, right? So
yes.
Think about that. Somebody's got to be that. So thank you so much.
Are there any other questions?
No, just a comment. Thank you very much for coming here and showing us what you're doing at the Teen Center. I mean, I don't go there all the time, but I see that you're doing successfully, and that's great that you're going to get another 10,000. The question is probably, are you planning to expand the program to more teens or just sustaining it this time?
Well, we would love to expand our program.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, due to square footage,
yeah.
I think we've already busted out the seams. 65 kids in a small room. That's why we utilize the auditorium a lot, the weight room, room 13. I mean, we utilize all of those rooms. But that would be fantastic if we can expand that program and, you know, get more square footage to where we can invite another 65 kids.
That's great.
That would be wonderful. But we only can really, I want to say, work within the capacities of where we're at, but I don't turn kids away. So if that means we have another 30 showing up, we're going to make room. However we got to do it, that's what we're going to do. We don't turn kids away.
Great. Well, I speak for myself and probably some of the board members that we would want to help you. And
right.
We could find a way to do that for you if you'd want to do that. And because of also the Teen Center, we're able to keep this street safe. As
right.
I can see, our deputy sheriff's here. We can get them contained and happy in the Teen Center. Then that's not just for us, but also for the whole community. So that success is just for everyone.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
When they have productive things to do, they're not out on the street making it up. So we look forward to providing that safe environment for them to come and mentor, get mentored, and be around their peers, engage in enrichment activities, as you've seen on the video. These young people are going to leave with memories,
mm-hmm.
and it started here.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a suggestion for your dinner is to get some of your alums to be recognized. Bring
yeah.
them back,
yes.
probably, you know.
Well, they do
maybe
come
maybe.
Back and mentor
yeah.
the younger ones. You know, let's wait for one of them to strike it rich and ask for some money.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Judy, can I make one more comment?
Sure.
I just want to recognize Jackie Santa Maria. So, you know, I know a little bit about the Teen Center because Randy and I are in the Costume Fellowship together, and they have had a big hole. As far as the girl component and also I think Latinos and Latinas, right? And I think it's really to her credit that she has brought in that community. And it's just really awesome, Jackie. Thank you for all your good work. I know you do a lot of it on your own time. And really, I think Randy would agree, it's benefited the program and our community, like, hugely. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah. Thank you.
Jackie has definitely stepped up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say fill that gap when you have so many young ladies.
Right.
There's some things that they're not going to feel comfortable coming talking to me about.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to Jackie, and she came in and did a fantastic job, but she can't do it volunteering for the rest of her life.
Right.
You know, I really try to find a way to pay her for her time,
mm-hmm.
to show her that we really appreciate her worth. She has really stepped up and helped with the translations through the communication barrier that we've had with not just with Teen Center members, but just people off the street who need help. And since we're open to 7:30 and people see the light on, they come there for help. So through that, there's no front office open, so they're coming to asking, you know, where do we go for this, where do we go for that? But my Spanish is very minimal, so therefore I have Jackie on speed dial.
So, is there any way to write her into a grant, a position for her?
The general manager and I have talked about that, and I actually have a meeting coming up with our grant funders. I do believe that is something that I am going to address.
Yeah.
Because that would be great to have the dynamics of a male and female, and especially one that is bilingual, especially in the community in which we serve. So that would be wonderful. I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask a question,
right,
for sure. So that has been a plan of Jackie and I's for at least a year. But we, you know, just threw in there and getting her feet wet so she can kind of see what we're dealing with at the Teen Center. I think Jackie will agree that working at the Teen Center is not like working at a school. It is totally different. Those kids at school have to be at school. When you come to the Teen Center, you don't have to be here. So you have to be really creative on how you're going to keep them here and keep them coming back. So that's the challenge. She did a great job in learning about that. So I look forward to working with Jackie in the future, and I hope it's, we are able to nail down that grant situation where we can literally pay her to be here full time. Actually, I think out of all of the staff members at Ambrose, I don't know, I think I speak the best Spanish here, which is not a good thing.
Right.
So with that said, we are going to push real hard to see if we can get something taken care of. We can address that.
Yes. First of all, congratulations to all of you guys, because you guys are accomplishing things because you want to. You have your mentor, but you know, you're doing good things. So congratulations to you. And to Randy, kudos. In the past, I have mentioned Anna to the... maybe 2 years ago, there was a posting on Facebook, and I'm like, and she was talking about you, you know, and it was just, you know, it really touched me that she was saying that you were the reason that she was going to Spain, that you're the one that had told her that she could, and that you're the one that helped her fill out the application to go to college, and that she had to deal with a Latino family that do not want to let their daughters go away, which was huge, and that you helped with that, and mom is, you know, she's so happy now because her daughter did this, but it wasn't an easy ride for her.
Oh, it wasn't an easy ride for me either.
But thank you. Though. Thank you for the work you do.
Thank you very much, and you're right. So, like you pointed out, it was a tough sell to the parents, but Anna knew in her heart it was the right thing to do. And I needed to package it to where her family can understand that this is going to be beneficial not only to her, but for the generations after her. So once we were able to sit down with her parents and, you know, articulate that, they gave it a shot, and they're so happy they did. They always come back now and say thank you for helping her get into school, and we actually worked on getting her, I believe it was $10,000 for the scholarship money, to be able to carry her for her first year, because that was one of their big concerns, is how are we going to pay for it. So since they didn't have to worry about paying for it, and we showed them that we can get her scholarships, they were more apt to let that happen. So it was a great opportunity to let her expand. I mean, she's been to Spain and all that great stuff. She comes back and tells these stories to the other kids. You know, and she's from this community, so she's telling you what is possible, what you can do, not to accept no the first time around. So, thank you.
I wanted to mention before I continue that I... called Miss Brad Farmer, who led in the Pledge of Allegiance, so I want to recognize Brad Farmer. Okay, at this time, thank you very much, Randy and teens. At this time, the general manager will give us an oral update on the district issues and activities.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief. Our restroom update, we're moving quite well with the project. Looks like we may be able to wrap this up in a week and a half. I've been in there. They've got all new stuff, all new stub outs. The fixtures haven't come yet. The walls have been recently drywalled, and they floated a brand new floor on there, which they've completed this evening. So we've made some tremendous progress, and hopefully we'll have those available for the public very shortly. Just a reminder that the Extravaganza, our annual Easter celebration, is scheduled for March 19th from 10 to noon. It'll be here out on the field, as it traditionally is, and that's for 2 to 12-year-olds. It's a great event, and I know many of you have been there in the past, and we all look forward to that one. I also want to mention quickly the community garden is a truly natural garden right now. Nature is taking care of that, and yes, it's lush, it's green, and full. Of course, we know that we're going to redirect that as soon as the weather changes. We'll get the community back, and some of these young men actually helped with the garden last time, so appreciate. We'll get them back in helping us once again. I did have a meeting with a group of community members who wanted to discuss in more detail specifics about the pool. Some of those are in the audience this evening. I appreciated them taking the time to meet with me. We discussed the pool project in broad terms, and we talked about it in specific terms. The conversation started with that figure up there, which is nearly $682,000, but it actually kind of morphed into how we can support the pool on an annual basis, so the ongoing operations and maintenance. And with that came a brief conversation about the Bay Point Community Foundation and how we will be utilizing the foundation for fundraising initiatives in a broader sense and specifically for the pool. And I did invite some of the representatives to actually, be part of the foundation and possibly sit on the board. So, of course, the board is, the foundation is an entity unto itself. So, I can simply make recommendations, and there's some great enthusiasm. So hopefully we can build on that. Also, I just want to remind you that this is the 70th anniversary of the inception of our district, so we're going to start, we've been brainstorming some stuff, but hopefully we'll have an event in the future. We're looking at a winter event. I think something in the December month would be fantastic, so we'll start the process in that, and I'll keep you updated on that. And that's all I have.
You said 70th year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're
70.
Thank you. Thank you, General Manager. Okay, we don't have a legal counsel report, but we have now at this point a public comment. And at this time, we give the public way to make comments on matters not on the agenda but within the jurisdiction of this board. The speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and a request to speak form is back on the table, and it should be submitted to staff before speaking. No action will be taken by this board. Written communication received regarding items not on the agenda will be filed and will be read into the record at the discretion of the board chair. Okay, we have two at this time, and the first one is Chris Moreno.
Good evening, board and community members. It's going to be really brief. Every time I've come here, it's been, an onslaught of crazy comments, and I think it was really overdue for a good comment. So I just wanted to go ahead and say thank you to Doug Long for, all the support he's been giving the pool and the actions he's been taking to focus on getting this done and working with the community to get it done. So I appreciate that and all the help that the board's going to be behind Doug.
Great.
positivity that's behind it to get it done. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Marcia Leslie.
I asked Director Lee Mason, since he was not going to be here for this meeting, would he be on teleconference? He responded no, so I asked why. He said back in April 2015, Steve Hoagland wrote a statement that you may read into the record stating that teleconference was a way for elected officials to hide and do secret business, and stated no other agency allowed for this. Yet the California Association of Park and Rec, which Steve Hoagland is the chair of, is changing their bylaws to allow teleconferencing. It is unfortunate that Director Mason is unable to participate in tonight's meeting through teleconferencing, even though it is allowed and encouraged under the Brown Act, and his constituents would like his input. Not only are you denying his rights, but the rights of his community as well. Also, I noticed that Director Mason's board comments from the last meeting about the board's rude and disrespect treatment to the public were not reflected in the minutes. Yet all of Eva's, May's, Judy's, and Trina's comments were included. Somewhere it looks like discrimination to me against Mr. Mason and the people of this community.
Okay, we don't have any other comments at this time. There's no public hearing, so we will move right into the board matters. And our first matter to consider is accepting a $10,000 grant from the San Francisco Foundation to support activities and programs for youth, including at-risk youth, ages 13 to 19, at the Ambrose Recreation and Park District's teen program. Do I have comments on that?
Yes, Madam Chair. This grant opportunity was very fortunate. Randy Ross is also a Koshland Fellow, and it was with his association with the San Francisco Foundation that this became available, and it allowed us to successfully draft a grant application. And it was a pleasure to be able to talk about the successful programs and activities that we have in our teen program, and to demonstrate how this program has been supported by the board of directors in this community. So it is with great pleasure that I announced that we did receive the grant application, and it is before you for your acceptance and approval.
Okay. Any comments from board members?
Thank you to the San Francisco Foundation.
Yeah, great.
Do I have
any more? Okay, so do I have a motion?
I move we accept a $10,000 grant from the San Francisco Foundation to support activities and programs for the youth at the Teen Center.
Second.
Okay.
Director Hudson.
Aye.
Director Torgerson.
Aye.
Director Dawson.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
The record showed Director Mason's absent.
Okay. The next one is considering allocating an additional $227,000 to the Ambrose Aquatics Complex project and authorize the City of Pittsburgh to award a contract to Waterworks Industries, Inc., in the amount of $1,566,840 to renovate the aquatics complex, contingent upon receiving $227,000 from Contra Costa County and $227,000 from the City of Pittsburgh for the project. General Manager?
Yes, thank you. As you know, one of the strategies that we had to bridge the funding gap, which was specifically $681,740, which was the difference between the lowest bid and our budget, staff suggested that we contact our neighbors in the county and the city, and to see if we can get some support for fundraising. So I had a meeting with the city manager of the City of Pittsburgh and Supervisor Glover, and talked about this funding strategy, and they agreed to see what they can do in pushing this funding funding effort forward. I did get commitments from them that they will ask their particular elected officials to support this. So what we're going to do is tonight I'm asking the board to allocate their $227,000, which represents actually one third of that amount, to the project, and convey this information to the city of Pittsburgh and to the county, and let them know that we are prepared to move forward with this project. Additionally, I would like to say almost parenthetically that when I talked to the board initially, I had indicated that we were in position to offer as much as $250,000 to the project. Well, when they went to one-third, the math actually cut our commitment back by $23,000. However, I would like the board to at least keep in mind that if the project, for some reason, would go beyond its contingency that's already built into the project, that that $23,000 be made available for that. There's no action regarding that tonight, but just to let you know that if this came up, that this is probably the prudent thing to do. So with that, you can see that the commitment by the district towards this project is rather significant, and totaling with this additional $227,000 is just over $800,000 for this project. So, and as we've already recognized, Brad Farmer, the finance director from the city of Pittsburgh, is in the audience this evening, and he's actually going to carry the ball to the March 21st city council meeting. And that's when the city council will be considering a similar staff recommendation, perhaps. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions if you have any.
Is Gina, are we going to be able to work within the deadline of the contract, the bid? Not contract, but... when we get a bid, there's an amount of days it's
yes.
good for. Will this fit within that?
It will. We have till mid-April, I believe, to award the contract. So this is the first in the line of three.
So if they all service. Line up, that means that...
Then we'll award the bid.
And the bid will be as stands. They can't change it on us.
That's correct. What they put in is the existing bid, right.
Okay. Perfect. Nice.
Okay. So if we approve from here, what are the next steps? So the public will know how many days or whatever.
Okay, that's a good point. Again, we would start here. The next would most likely be the city of Pittsburgh, followed by the county, which I'm assuming would either be at their March 28th meeting or their April 14th meeting, one of the two, prior to the deadline that's required for awarding the bid. Okay. So we're looking to have this project... bid awarded mid-April.
Okay. Do I have a motion to consideration?
I move. Let me get the right one because we changed it. Okay. I move we allocate I move we allocate $227,000 of our reserves to the Ambrose Park Aquatics Complex project and authorize the City of Pittsburgh to award a contract to Waterworks, Inc. in the amount of $1,566,840 to renovate the aquatics complex contingent upon receiving the $227,000 from Contra Costa County and $227,000 from the City of Pittsburgh.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Then we have the call.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Director Mason's absent.
Okay. At this point, our next item on the agenda, 10C, is the report on the Ambrose Aquatics Complex projected operational budget. General Manager?
Okay.
Yes, I thought this is a report to the board. There's no action that is required, but I thought it would be a good time to start talking about potential impacts to our general fund should the project be successfully completed. I want to let you know that these figures are largely based on the operations over at Buchanan Pool. However, I did contact other directors, Crockett and Vallejo, who have similar size pools and similar operations, just to determine, you know, where we are within the parameters of the pool projected budget. I do have to let you know that this is a projected budget, and it's an early projection, and this could change as between $25,000 to $35,000, just to let you know. But this is going to give you an idea of what we're looking at in terms of general fund support. To be clear about this, generally speaking, pools return about 60% on revenues over expenditures. So again, for round numbers, if it's $100,000 operation, you're only going to get $60,000 from user fees. The rest need to be supported by the general fund. General fund is supported by, for the audience to know, is by tax dollars, assessments, other revenues coming from other programs. And that's how we get our money. So we would be shifting some of those dollars in our unassigned reserve into the general operation budget in support of the pool operation. Pardon me. So if you look at this, the total maintenance cost is about $35,000, to use round figures. And then the operation, with including the staff, brings it up to about $45,000. There's, again, these are the best guess things we can do right now. We're going to be refining these as soon as the project is approved, then we get into a greater detail. So when you're when I present the next year's budget to the board, we're going to have a more refined estimate based on working with aquatic staff, so they'll tell me exactly what is required. The first line item is water that we're looking at.
Can you show me where you're looking?
It's just right here. You can see the lines
across here.
We didn't label them, and I apologize for that, but it just gives you an idea of what the maintenance is, and water in supply, pool supplies. Mm-hmm. There's one item in there. So the water, if this is Golden State water, we pay the most expensive premium for water here. So that may be a little light. There is a $800 charge that is goes throughout the entire year for the maintenance of the pool. We right now don't have staff, so we'd have to contract for that. $800, the way it works is they come three times a week during the season, and they would probably come two times a week in the off season. The pool has to circulate even during off season. So you're running
electricity.
Yes, you're running. You're getting the water to circulate, and the pool chemicals are much less because you have nobody in the pool. But nevertheless, there is some cost associated with that even in the off season. The way that works is the $800 monthly fee is just amortized over the entire year. That's the way that generally you keep ongoing employees. They're not seasonal employees for the contract. They work all year round. They have contracts all over the place. So this particular contract sector says it's just easier, even though we're working more in the summer, less in the winter.
Right.
An $800 average fee is the best way to charge.
Is that the second to last?
Second to last, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Operations, preseason, you've just got to get ready for the pool. I've allocated about 45 hours of preseason operations, getting the pool manager hired up to speed. What they'll do is the pool manager generally runs all the logistics for the pool. They set the lessons, they set up the curriculum, they deal with interface with all the parents, they train all the guards. Just it's a critical role in operating a pool, to have a pool manager. The next one is the head guard. The head guard takes on some of those responsibilities of pool managers. It's just not to that high degree of setting curriculums. They'll do some interface with the with parents and participants. The idea is when your pool manager is not there, the head guard takes over in some of those responsibilities. You usually don't have them assigned at the same time. So the pool manager leaves, head guard takes over once the operations are running. And the hourly rate, I've been calling around about the hourly rate, and I figured the hourly rate for the pool manager to be $15 an hour and the head guard, the pool manager at $20 an hour, the head guard at $15 an hour. These are on the high end. They are. It doesn't. Most people that I talk to say you're smart to go that route to attract people to the job. Now, the idea that we may pursue is sharing with the city of Pittsburgh, and there's a certain economy of scale in doing this. So we only have one pool manager that we share. We have one pool of guards, pardon the pun, that we can draw from, and it makes sense. There's one training. We don't have to train different groups of people. So there's just it's more efficient, cost efficient to do it that way. So I'll just need to talk to them because obviously we're going to use their guards. We're going to use their pay system. So if they're paying their head guard $13 instead of $15, we'll save money on the budget and the estimate. And that's what I'm saying is this will be refined as I move through. And I've worked with staff over there and I understand exactly what their hourly rate is. The interesting thing about how to operate pools, it's just trial and error a lot when people do that, refine their operations. For example, when you have a pool and you have two guards on deck, the guards need to take a rest. They are in the sun all day, and it's just you create a liability problem when you have a guard that's heat-stroked and not paying attention for whatever reason. So they cycle them out, and they get 20-minute rest, and they come back on. So you've got one, you have two guards and one in the shack, getting ready to relieve somebody else, they come out and do that. Now, the other operation is to have one of the guards serve as the cashier. So you eliminate the cashier position. Mm-hmm. They're out of the sun, and they operate that way, mm-hmm. which is fine. It can work that way. But when they come to relieve the other guard, they can't be at the same place at the same time. So that cashier, cash register is left unattended. Mm-hmm. And it's a risk. There's some folks that just, you know, it is risky. People can sneak in without paying. They may steal something there. It just depends on how secure the facility is. So, again, that's something to be thought about, and will that work? I have a cashier built in here, and budget-wise, it would be the difference of about $1,000 the entire season, so it's not a deal-breaker on that. So you can see that the operations at $45,000 is just pretty consistent with pools of like size. The biggest contingency on this whole thing is lessons. Lessons are what support your pool. That pays the piper. Now, the lessons typically are 4 days a week, and they cycle in 2 weeks. So you get 8 lessons, half-hour lessons, at usually $40, $45. That can be a little expensive on some families, especially if you have multiple children that you want to put through that. So we've already mentioned getting support. The city of Pittsburgh gets support from Los Medanos
healthcare
and Kaiser. Right. And what they're happy to help out with that, gets kids in the pool, it makes them safe, it gets them active, it's healthy. So they've been successful at getting those grants. I think we're going to have the same kind of success. However, that's not going to be money be above and beyond. What that will do is it will just subsidize. So instead of paying $40, you pay $10. And they make up the difference. So the money that you see here is the revenue, you know, whether it's coming from a grant or coming from the users themselves. The lessons, as you can see, that the assumptions that they're near capacity. Now, again, the pool is 25 yards long, and you put four classes, each one in a corner, right? You might be able to add two additional classes in the middle walls, right? That's not for me to make that determination. It's for the pool manager too. So we may be able to increase the lessons, which would increase our revenue. So what we're missing on the top in terms of operations, where don't have enough budgeted for the water, we may make up by adding additional classes. But again, this needs to be refined as we push through the process. But nevertheless, I just wanted to give you kind of a snapshot of kind of what we're looking at in terms of operations. Right now it's showing at about a $25,000 deficit. It used to operate at about a $30,000 deficit, I believe, for a number of years. This is about 60% of where we're at. So it looks, when you do all the math and you come out and see what percentage of what you're looking for in revenue versus expenditures, we're right at that 60% range. And so I'm fairly comfortable with this. Again, it may move. Don't be shocked if I come back and say it's $35,000 to the general fund. You know, you need to be prepared for that. I don't know if you remember, but I've always been touting that it cost us about 40 to 60 grand a year for this. So this shouldn't come as a big surprise to the board in its operations. However, we want to minimize that. The other strategy that we were going to employ is actively getting the Bay Point Community Foundation in fundraising for the annual operational cost. And that's going to be big. Now, there's revenue opportunities that we don't include in here, which we like to have as buffers, renting out the facility, having special events there. Mm-hmm. The foundation would be great to put a, they call them inflatables in there that are obstacle courses. It brings tons of people down for stuff like that. So you just have that as a special event now and again. So there's opportunities for to make money beyond that. I've heard talk about from a number of people, and I can certainly understand why, because we know that the food industry can turn a profit. Generally speaking, the profit that they make over at Cunningham, the net profit is around $7,000. Not bad, especially with this size budget, but of course they're a bigger operation, bigger pool, the whole thing. Generally speaking, you're not making a lot of money from your snack bar. Concessions, right? It's a convenience for the user, but it's not a real money driver. So, you know, we don't have that included in there. Some other things. This stuff, again, we'll vet most of the stuff before we bring it back for approval as part of the next year's fiscal budget. But anyway, I just wanted to present this so you know what we're up against, what we're looking at, and that we clearly understand. Then we open up the pool. There is some commitment from the board, financial commitment through the general fund to sustain the pool.
We have some,
do we get to ask questions now, or do we wait for after?
I request to speak for Thanks. Maria Vargas.
Okay. Thanks,
Julie. Uh-huh. Maybe next.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, thank God, Doug, the board members, City of Pittsburgh, Federal Glover, and everybody for just believing in this. And I'm really excited that we're going to be making this happen. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for your help, too. Yeah. Okay,
Jayna,
you had something to say?
Oh, I was just going to ask, do you mind going down the line items and telling me what they're for, since they're not? Just water is the first, supplies.
Yeah, you know what, I may have.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, I'll give it to you later, if you don't mind.
Okay, no, it's okay. It's just the...
The first one, and I apologize. I apologize for I will let you know that I think all of you know that my computer was stolen. So
yeah.
I was doing a big borrowing, stealing. So some of the stuff was done on programs I was not entirely familiar with. First one is water.
Okay.
Next one is.
It's important that we all pay attention. This is your time to find out what's going on. And I know you'd like to know all the information, so please give us your attention. Go ahead.
Okay. First item is water. Second is gas. Third is electric. Fourth is chemicals. Fifth is maintenance, and we talked about that. And the last one is a... this is equipment or other items. This would be not otherwise an NOS, not otherwise NOC, not otherwise classified. This is if a tile breaks or something breaks at the pool, something goes down, we've got to have a little money set aside for that. Also, I do, and I'm sorry I didn't include that with that. It was just an oversight. Also want to let you know that there's additional things that we need to operate the pool. Backboard, ring buoy, the shepherd's hook, all those kinds of things. And that's where the foundations can be very instrumental. It's probably in total is about $1,000, but it's perfect to go out and fundraise for, get donations for. It really works out well. So we've got a lot of opportunities here for the community to be very, very involved in the successful operation of the pool.
I just wanted to comment that I do realize this is projected in estimates at this time, but I think it's really important that we have these figures, because I know that I believe one of our community members really misstated something last meeting and said that I had said at a prior meeting that I didn't want this pool to go forward, and that's not at all what I said. I said that we had had three failed bids, and that even if we were to succeed and get the pool funded, that we were then also looking at sustainability. And we want to, if we are going to be building this pool, we want to be able to sustain it. So I think it's really important that we show these figures, and that you also, you know, make it clear that, you know, a snack shack does not support a pool. You know, any one entity does not support the pool. It's going to take everybody collaborating, and every little piece is going to be really important. And I really appreciate your homework on this.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, good job in letting us know. I said it before, it's wonderful to have a pool, but just looking at that amount and what it could be, and looking 10 years, you know, we have to be able to raise that money. Because
right.
If we don't, then the pool will be closed, and this center will be closed, because I just don't see how you can sustain, you know, coming up with $30,000 every year. It's scary. It's, I know that it's not where everybody's happy, but you have to look at it. I'm looking at it.
Right.
You know, it's very scary. Unless we have, like you said, the foundation really working for us, in raising money. I know that the lessons, that's not going to happen overnight, I don't think.
No.
That's going to take a while to get people coming. So
right.
We have a big job in front of us.
Yes, we do. Well, I agree with my co-members, so
yeah.
We do need the help of our constituents to help us with the fundraising,
mm-hmm.
keeping that pool maintained and sustained and used. We
right.
need to use it. So
it's probably being used right now that it's halfway full.
Yeah.
Have some creative financing ideas to help us.
There was a time that it was open, but it wasn't totally used.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we didn't have enough money to come back.
I'd like to just point out, I think a big thing would be is to get more attraction to that pool. It's always been a problem. A lot of people would come at special events, and I think that should be a main focus with the district, is to get the people down there. Once the people are getting down there, word's going to spread.
Yeah.
Once word spreads, then we could talk about putting in that snack shack,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, getting a Ambrose Park team again, and you know a lot of our lifeguards back in the day were affiliated with the team, so yeah I'm glad to hear something is very positive is happening here.
Okay,
I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much. Okay. Our last item is to consider designating a representative to serve as labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. And Marsha Leslie has a comment.
Yes, I'd like to address the board. I'd like to know a little bit about this 9D. I'd like to know what and whose labor is being negotiated, and why you did not feel it was necessary to mention the person by name on the agenda. Some of these issues would like to come forward. People would like to know what's going on, but that leaves it's pretty vague. So I'd like the board to address this in detail, please.
Okay, General Manager, do you have a comment on this item 10D?
Yes. This will be listed on the agenda appropriately. It will have the general manager process will take, it can take the next, it could take the next two meetings, could take the next one meeting. It just depends on how the board wants to go. But the public will have plenty of notification.
Okay. So at this time, any comments from the board?
We usually have the chair be the labor negotiator.
I know that you have done an excellent job for, 6 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking Ms. Trina would like to recall something like this. Is this something that...
I would.
Okay.
So I would like to designate Ms. Trina Hudson to be the representative to serve as labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6.
Okay. Any comments?
I would like to ask the chair first how she feels about that.
That's perfectly fine. We'll get someone else's point of view and... Okay, so are we supposed to, I guess we vote on that.
We have
a motion.
Do
we have a
second? I second that.
Okay.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
The record shows Director Mason's absent.
Okay. at this time, we don't have a closed session. We have committee board comments and items for next month's agenda. And I have something that was emailed to me. Maybe the rest of you got it. It's regarding Senate Bill 885, which is... to oppose Senate Bill 885, and it has to do with special districts' freedom to contract in jeopardy. And it's a call to action. There you go. And here's paperwork to the general manager. And what it is it's from Neil McCormick, who's with the CSDA, and they want us to consider opposing Senate Bill 885 by Senator Wolk, a bill which would limit local agencies, could be Ambrose, ability to responsibly contract to potentially cost taxpayers millions. And so I have a sample letter, and they want to, SB 885 would eliminate the right of a public agency such as Ambrose, to contract with architects and engineers for upfront legal defense against claims related to these design professionals' work. Instead, public agencies could only ask for reimbursement from the design professionals if the claim is fully litigated and a decision is rendered by a court. So, I present this to you, and then you can decide if you want to write a letter and oppose it or not.
Is this next month you'd be presenting it?
Well, I'm presenting it to you, and if you want to do the call, if you want to do it right now, it's up to you.
Can't do that at this point.
It's not on the agenda.
No, I know. I'm just bringing it up to you as a board comment and an item, so you can do with it as you wish.
Oh, got it.
I just wanted you to be informed,
okay.
Because I got it as an email, and I didn't know if the rest of you got it.
Okay.
And I wanted you to be... informed on it, so you know, we wouldn't say, oh, I wish I'd known about it. So
are we going to put it on the next agenda, or
we
is
could
something
do that?
We can also post, or
yeah, right, or you can do it on your very own,
okay.
Yeah,
oh, as a citizen,
yes,
right, okay,
right, okay. What did you think, General Manager? think it'd be something we should put on the agenda?
Yes, I think it would be something that you want to do collectively rather than individually.
Individually, okay. Yeah.
Great. More impact as a board?
Well, so that'll be an agenda item for next month.
We can study that more.
Yes.
Through the chair?
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that this month is March for Meals. It is something that happens every year. It's part of Meals on Wheels America. It's to bring attention to our homebound seniors that are lacking nutrition. And we have a really good and real thriving Meals on Wheels program here in East County. And we just highlight that during this month. We have different political people. We have different citizens that will come to an event that's held the last month of March, and just highlight, what's happening with our seniors in East Contra Costa County and the good works that we're doing to help feed them. So just want to let you know that.
Well, for me, the Bay Point Garden Club is also celebrating 10th year anniversary this year. So we're planning some events sometime in the summer. So we will tell you about that. One idea is having a tea, an afternoon high tea event.
Great.
So there's a team that's planning it, and we'll tell you more about it. And we're already working on the Spring Derby. It's going to be a Memorial Day, and although our funding has been cut a little bit, we're asking some of our neighboring small businesses to help us.
We cut our funding by half.
By half?
Oh, my gosh.
By half. But we will continue with the parade, and we will be asking more people to join.
Good deal.
Okay.
Okay. I had something a minute ago.
Okay. So, with that said,
okay, I move we adjourn.
A second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, audience members.
Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Here's a check.
They want to talk to me.
What we need.